Hello and welcome to this episode of Demystified as we explore home cooking in a modern world. I'm Linda and I'm here with my buddy Paul. How are you going, Paul?
I'm a buddy today.
Well, last week we discovered in AI that you and I are friends.
Yeah, well, I would have gone with associate, but okay, buddy, you'll do it.
Oh, there you are.
So today, Linda, today, and it's a very rare thing that we have, but today we are a little bit excited. We have a guest. So to everyone out there, and the reason for this guest is kind of twofold. One of the reasons is I remember about a month ago you went to a business seminar,
yeah.
Right? And a question on the questionnaire was, what's the purpose of what we're trying to do with Demystified, Cooking with Steam, and all of the things that we do? And so I sort of sat back and thought, you know, what is it that we're trying to do? And one thing that sort of came to the top for both of us was we're trying to educate people.
Correct.
Now, what we don't know is what we don't know, right? So I happen to know this man sitting on my right, and to all of you out there in the podcast world, this is Jeff Patterson. Jeff Patterson is the National Training Manager for Fisher & Paykel Appliances. Jeff and I have been working together on and off for probably 3.5 years now. And so we thought it might be interesting for everyone out there listening to understand and get a bit of insight, and also for you and me, Linda, especially. So basically, we're recording information so that Linda and I can refer to it so we know that we're doing the right thing when it comes to educating the people that are going to use our content, use our site. So we thought, why not better than get someone who is a learning specialist in to talk about it? So, Jeff, welcome. Thanks for coming. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
We're very excited that you're here. So I suppose the first question I want to ask is, how do people learn? I know it's like a very broad question, but especially in the realms of what we're trying to do, which is create content specifically around cooking. But how do people learn? Because people, as far as I understand, learn in different ways. Can you highlight to us what it is?
Yeah, and I think it's an interesting question. And thank you for having me on. And I'm probably just excited about talking about learning as you're probably about understanding it. So if we go right back to when we're children, and if you think about that first habit of when we started to walk, and everybody could run, couldn't they?
Got to walk before you run, but
you definitely have to walk before you run. So
yeah,
we all think as adults that we should know. And that's our first mistake. So when we're trying to teach someone in a room as adults, there's this expectation that I should know, or I don't want to be embarrassed. And as children, we don't have that. We throw our hands up, we answer a question, we give a statement. We're okay to fail. So when we talk about failing as adults, we don't like it, because what does it mean when we fail?
Oh, it means you look like a dumbass.
Yeah. Well, in actual fact, we're not. So when we talk about failing, we talk about that first attempt in learning, and we don't reference it enough. And that's what adult learners or adults need to come back to. Now, there's different parts to learning as an adult. And as we move through life, people adapt and move to different styles of learning. So there's certain people, and I know when we've worked together, there's certain people, and we'll be out at an event or in a venue, and people want to touch things, don't they, Paul?
Yeah. No.
They want to touch and feel. And that's that kinesthetic, I need to touch and feel. And that's me, personally.
Yeah, and that's me too. So I need to touch and feel and play to understand it. Maybe that's not the full breadth of what it is to get to master whatever it is I'm trying to learn, but definitely, I need to do that. That's like, for me, that's first step, I suppose.
Yeah. And people use sometimes one or two of these components to it. And then you've got the seeing. So some of them, people are more visual. They can sit back and look at a video, or they can see you doing a demonstration with Steam, and you can go, or they can watch a video of yours. No problem.
That's me.
That's you.
I'm process driven. I want to write the steps down, watch the video, write it down, follow the process.
Yep.
You're an accountant.
But I'm that gem, and then I'll learn as well.
And then add on top of that kinesthetic, and as you do it, and you're okay with it. Now, there's some people that can just hear it, and obviously being on a podcast, there's people that we're hopefully listening out there today that go, okay, yeah, I get it. Paul talks about steam and how it's steam and it's thermally efficient and so forth, and they get it. Now, we've been at many events and they talk through, yes, it's so many times thermally efficient and blah, 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 and it's better cooking methodology and so forth, or using different methods. They hear it and they get it. Some people, they need to see it. Some people, they need to do it. Now, the complex part about adults is we try and overanalyze things at times. So, I'm seeing Linda nodding her head in there. For those of you who can't see, we try and overanalyze it. Now, some people are self-motivated and they can go and learn themselves. Some people have to have life experience that they have to do and be a part of and need to be a chef, or don't need to be a chef, but they'd like to be a chef or go on MasterChef or cook. Some people are goal-orientated, so they say, I need to perhaps next week I'm going to do a egg-based custard in the steam bath or whatever I'm going to do. I need to do that. Some people need, it needs to be some type of orientation within it, and some people need practice, and then obviously then there's the rules and responsibilities around that. So there's all different factors to within that learning process. And I think at times we overcomplicate it.
So here's where I probably at times, and those of you that have been listening to us for a while would know, you can probably hear in the tone of my voice sometimes my frustration and annoyance with Linda is around the fact that my theory behind cooking and recipes is that they are a guideline, right? So in my world, they are a guideline, except when you're pastry cooking, right? So pastry cooking is a finite, defined set of rules and weights and grams and things like that, right? Whereas pretty much most other methods of cookery, there is a feel to it, yeah. Right? Linda, on the other hand, will say, no, the recipe is the recipe, right? And I have to have it exactly like that. So if you were me, how would you try and communicate that feel that you've got to, is it a practice and repeat type thing?
Yeah. And like, I think it's understanding who you're trying to teach to. So there's cues you can pick up on and how people shy away from things. And I don't know whether I was at an event yesterday morning, and I asked a question, and the body language from this person, and I just asked them to interact with an appliance, and they took a step back. And my first instance when I saw that person, a young lady that it was, and I said, no, your first reaction was to step back, don't want to interact. Now, she wasn't comfortable in that space. So I think it's understanding, one, the body language and reading the body language, but it's also sometimes people don't like going out of that comfort zone, but it's twofold. So you have to really try and pick and understand, and it's really hard on the fly, people or their learning comfort zone.
Mm.
So is Linda going to have to read it three times first, then see it, and then have a go? But then at the same time, Paul, being the chef that you are, going, it's okay, Linda, you can add a little bit more. You have to taste it.
Workshop this?
but and that's that whole, the boundaries at which we are as learners, as professionals in that space. We want people to be able to feel and experience, especially from a cooking aspect.
Yeah. And I mean, I suppose the difficulty that we have with what we're attempting to do is that we don't have any eyes on our audience, right? So it's a one-way communication.
Yeah.
So it makes it, because I want to, like, and look, Jeff, you've seen me 1,000 times present to people and all the rest of it. And I think, and I don't know, and you probably know, but I think I can pick up on those cues that you're talking about reasonably well. Sometimes I'll come over the top of people, but that's just a stupid chef thing. But in what we do here is that, like I say, it's a one-way communication. And so when I think about the content that we're going to create or what we're going to do, how do we make it as broad spectrum for as many different learning types? I mean, I'm not asking you to define our business, but maybe help us make sure that we're getting the right things across. Are there key phrases, words, you know?
Yeah.
Should we spend time on that?
Yeah, you definitely need to spend time on slowing down. We talk about down to go fast. There was something that was taught to me a long time ago. It's do it once, do it slow, do it together, and off we go. It sounds
that's
really,
naff, Jeff.
It's very naff and it's very silly. But
yeah,
I love it.
When you think about it,
Linda's going to use that for her stuff now.
It doesn't work with accounting. Sorry.
Yeah.
So when you're talking about teaching someone a skill for the first time, and my son's a really good example. He's just moved into the air conditioning trade. Now, he's got a really good teacher in that space. Now, he's been an apprentice. He's been through that system. If we come back and talk about his journey, they want him to watch a skill being done. They want him to understand why the skill's being done. Then they want him to practice the skill with all expectation of him failing that skill, then learning from that. So when we talk about action learning, for your learners on our podcast, it comes down to that self-responsibility, that self-motivation component where you go, okay, I'm listening to Paul and Linda and I'm going to give this egg-based custard a crack. Pardon the pun.
Mm.
Now, yeah, it might not work first up, but maybe they need to go back and listen to it. So rinse and repeat and have a bit of a go and then go again and maybe listen to some of the cues where they don't pick it up. Then maybe go and, if they're a bit more visual, perhaps go onto some of your website. And
yeah, I'll say, I mean, what we're doing with our content, we'll be updating on YouTube.
Yeah.
And so it will be visual, right? But I suppose the thing that I just took away from what you said is slow it down. I mean, I think I tend to probably speed through the words and talk a bit fast at times because I'm always in a rush to do something else. But maybe that's a good tip,
yeah,
I suppose.
It's a good one, Jeff.
For us.
Yeah, and sometimes, and you have to, again, pick up the cues when you slow it right down for that person that's advanced or that comes in with a whole lot of practical application. You go, well, I don't need to slow it down. They actually feel then dumbed down. So it's that picking up those cues in that space. But as adults, we always want to feel comfortable. We always want that regardless. We want the pat on the back that we've done a good job. We, as human beings, that's what we like, whether you like it or not. We want to be able to say, yes, you've done a good job, which comes to the second part of learning is that feedback component.
Mm.
Some of us don't like feedback, whether it's self-feedback.
I like to give it. Linda gets feedback all the time.
Yeah. And I'm not sure whether your listeners actually give you feedback within the comments.
Some do at times. We've had, g'day Jeff. Yeah, hello Jeff. We do get a little bit every now and again. There's always been a little bit of commentary on some of the YouTube stuff we've previously done. People picking apart.
Yeah.
You know, and criticizing quite a lot, which I look at to a degree objectively, but I also would question sometimes the motivation for doing that because I don't think that actually helps anyone. I mean, to give you an example, right? So you've seen our cookbook.
Yes.
Right. It is a cookbook of recipes. It says it on the title.
Mm.
Now, we received some feedback from someone that purchased the book that said that it didn't demystify anything about their particular combi steam oven, how to use it, what steam does, but it says recipes on the title. And they said, but it's just a bunch of recipes. Now, I look at something like that and go, okay, am I the dumbass here? Like, you know, so yeah, feedback's a funny one in the space that we're working in because...
But we do read everything.
Absolutely.
And we do talk about it. We do take it on board to say, well, okay, maybe we did forget that part in the recipe or that makes sense or hang on, maybe they haven't, you know, because everyone, I make mistakes, as you know, with some of the recipes that I try and laugh and still make a mistake. But it is really helpful. We do talk about those feedbacks that we get via the podcast, via email.
Yeah, and I think it's really interesting, and as you know, we've been and done lots of events together.
Mm.
We get the warm and fuzzy, oh, that was really lovely and really nice, and we were talking about it today as we were going shopping for some ingredients today, and I'm the type of person that you can rip the Band-Aid off and say pretty much the truth, yeah, it was rubbish, it was crap, and that's what I'm looking for, but I am still looking for that constructive feedback. So I think if we talk about feedback as a feedback loop to get better, because all we're trying to do is be better. If I think about my life as a person and I think about my children and what we move forward, my objective as a human being is to make smaller human beings, smaller versions of me, but better versions of me.
That's a scary thought, Jeff.
I know. If I think about people in our journey at Fisher & Paykel and learning about appliances, all my objective is for them to be better versions of themselves and to learn more to be able to deliver that message so then someone can have a better experience. For Demystify People Cooking with Steam, it's understanding that feedback at the end. So whether they're cooking a recipe out of the book, for whether they're giving you feedback of how good they did it, how good they didn't do it, maybe it's an opportunity for them to go and seek feedback from their family members to what they thought. Obviously, self-feedback and self-analyzation is great. However, certain individuals are so much harder on themselves. If you ask someone to self-analyze their knowledge, and that's another point to it, you'd say there's certain types of people, and we've done this at Fisher & Paykel regularly, and you ask, say, what's your knowledge gap? Am I competent? Am I advanced? Like, you'll get there's two types of people. You get people that are overconfident, and then you've got people that, oh, no, no. So it's really understanding what type of person you are. So feedback's really important, but also self-analyzation as well.
Bit of time to look in the mirror, I think.
Well, something that I wanted to ask you was about educating the retail market, because this is a really interesting area for me particularly, and I know Paul and I have conversations about this, Jeff, but you're trying to educate the retail market because as a consumer, we go to them, we walk into a space and we've done our research. Sometimes we don't know about a particular appliance like induction cooktop or a steam oven. We're not sure, is it going to be better or worse, or what's the, more of a hype? All the questions that we have as consumers. We walk into a retail outlet and by and large the salespeople have a different way of talking to you or talking about that appliance, and not all of them are over the whole gamut. And it's an interesting, we went in, as Paul knows, we went in with a list of research topics that I had, came out with a very different brand and a very different outcome.
Yeah, and I think that's across most categories. So if you went to shop for a car or went to shop for appliance, it's very similar across it. One of the interesting things when we look at COVID and we look at that cross-pollination of certain people that came to the appliance industry, we had lots of people that were finishing up from the travel industry that wanted a more secure position, and they moved across to appliances, and we had to teach them about appliances. One of the things that we do from our side of things is trying to teach them about what the appliance is meant to do and give real life stories as opposed to specifics. So if I'm walking in to buy an appliance, I want to know that, one, I'm getting the right appliance for me and my lifestyle, but also want to know that person knows about, if it's, say, steam, for instance, they can actually articulate that. So our objective is for them to understand and be able to articulate that customer's benefits in relation to it, not just a spec sheet. It might have a 2.5 kilowatt whatever. What does that mean for Linda as she goes into shop?
Not much.
Not much.
It means very little now, even after all this time and we're working with Paul.
So it's understanding and trying to teach our retail staff that, yes, and this is the hard part, we have parts of our industry that just want to teach specifications. They want to teach kilopascals. They want to teach the specifications as opposed to what the customer really wants to know to get the best out of their cooking methodology.
Yeah, if I equate it, and, I love cars, I love car racing. It's like telling someone that a car's got 600 horsepower, but the driving experience for that person might be better in a 300 horsepower car. Like, it's not until you drive it that you're kind of going to know. So, I find that a very interesting topic, particularly given, Linda's story around doing the research for her kitchen reno, going in with picked brands, basically, and an idea.
And had confirmation from friends that had bought that brand and that was a really good brand and completely
white. And went to demonstrations of other brands.
Went to demonstrations, came back to that brand. And went to really good demonstrations, bit different they were in those days.
But came back with something completely different.
Yeah. The retail salesman just said, not that brand. If you're going to buy that brand, you might as well buy this brand because it's the parent of that brand. So, forget that.
Yeah.
And just swapped it away. And we were, okay, well, this guy knows. We don't. I've just been reading magazines and talking to people.
Yeah.
and he's the expert.
So I think
I wasn't unhappy with the purchase either, but it's been good.
Mm.
But
would you? So my question to you is: knowing what you know now, would you have bought that?
I would have still bought the steam because I really wanted the Combi steam oven, but I would have bought induction.
Yeah,
yeah. So
that's my big regret that I didn't buy induction at the time. I bought a big cooktop, which was fine, gas cooktop, gas hob.
Yeah.
But I wish I'd now bought.
And how's your Range Hood going, just out of interest?
Oh, it's absolutely crap. when it rains heavily, it still leaks.
So back
thanks
to
for
the,
asking.
Yeah.
Back to the learning side of it, and when we're teaching people in store, we use stories. Stories are the best way for us to try and attach any type of feeling or emotion to it. So when we talk about food, and food's really easy when you talk about cooking appliances, and we try and bring them off site, or we try and show them cooking and tasting, feeling. So we're coming back to whether it's kinesthetic, we're coming back to visual, we're coming back to hearing about it. Most people, when we talk about food and we're talking about cooking, they want to either taste, see, or understand it. If they're selling you an appliance in store, if they've got a really good story, whether they've cooked on that appliance, it resonates. So you then trust them. So therefore, obviously, you then would be more likely to sell that. So that's a lot of the methodology that we use, as opposed to that feature spec benefit in that sense.
Because it's hard for the person looking at renovating their kitchen or buying a new appliance.
Mm.
Big dollars.
Yeah.
Not as big as buying a car.
But it's not far off, right?
Big dollars. Like, and it's important because this is the thing that you're going to put food on your table with for your family.
A long time. Yeah.
And you need it to do what you think it's going to do for you.
Yeah.
And so you go into those stores and you're putting in your faith and your trust to say, okay, you know, tell me what I need and will it work? And you want that confirmation. And it's hard as a consumer to know when you're being stooged or upsold.
Well, it's also the difference between being marketed something and learn something. That's how I look at it, right? Yeah. So it's easy to get seduced by the beautiful imagery and the beautiful pictures and all of that stuff. All brands, whether it be a car brand, an appliance brand, like every brand does it. That's how they get you into the brand, right? That's you're easily seduced by that, I think. But the question is how much do you go and learn about the products that you're interested in the brand? How much preparation do you put into it before you go in? Or do you go in and just trust the salesperson at the store or at the car yard? Do you just trust them? Like, I don't know.
I think that comes down to personality. I definitely know from a learning perspective when, as I said, I mentioned COVID before, and we had a lot of people come from the travel industry and they moved across because no one was traveling. So they wanted a nice supportive role that they could move in, and appliances were going gangbusters. Everybody was renovating their kitchen. So we had lots of people move across to there. And what was quite evident when we looked at that space or that person as a learner, they wanted to touch and feel and experience because, as most travel agents do, what do? When they're downtime and they get these really good deals? So
jump on a plane.
They jump on a plane and they go and they experience and they come back and they sit with Linda in the office and say, Linda, I've been to the States, I've been to Santa Monica, I've been here and I've stayed there. And you instantly trust them. And that's their learning and that's that learnt behavior that they wanted to bring across to the appliance industry. And we supported that and we're continuing to support it. Lots of those people stayed within the industry. But yeah, it's really understanding how that person wants to learn.
Cool.
Interesting, because it's something that Paul and I do talk a lot about.
Yep.
And particularly now that we're rebranding, cooking is steam to be demystified. And
yeah, well, I think the thing, and I've battled with this a long time, is I want the time and effort that – and I know exactly what we're going to do from a content perspective. I know what we're going to, where we're going to deliver it and how we're going to do it. But I want it to be useful. Like, if you like it or don't like it, I couldn't care. But I want it to be educational and useful for someone that's interested in it. Like, if you're not, you're not, and I don't care, right? But I actually want to make sure that, you know, whatever it is that we're doing, whether it's filleting a fish, whether it's making the simplest loaf of bread, dicing an onion, I just want it to be useful because otherwise, if someone's not going to get use out of it, I feel like I'm wasting my time.
Exactly.
Because I know how to do that stuff already, and you know a little bit about it.
I'm still on my way.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, well, it's a 10-year learning curve.
Just got to think, constantly actively learning.
Yeah, there we go.
And actively learning. So I make that cake fail and then have another crack. Maybe you just need a bit more bicarb or so forth.
Eggs.
Yeah. It's a running joke. Linda's famous for the forgetting of the eggs. Well, Jeff, like, super, super good to have you. Thanks for that. It was very, very interesting. I found it interesting. And I hope everyone out there also found it interesting. You're a superstar, Jeff. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Jeff. And thanks, everyone. And until next time, happy cooking.
Happy cooking.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this podcast as we explore home cooking in a modern world. We'd love you to subscribe. And for more information, please go to our website, cookingwithsteam.com.